You don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is morning somewhere for April 18th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. 0.79 inches in a day is nothing for her.
I can handle it. Say hi to Ashley, everybody.
Oh,
I brought him back for you. Took you right out of your laugh. Straight out of it.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
He'll make occasional appearances.
Yeah.
JD's wandering around here, too. We might have him on. I want just some news I want to tell JD.
Okay.
I'm going to text him and tell him there's some news today that I definitely want to tell him. But a quick correction-ish from yesterday.
And it's not even follow-up Friday.
Yeah, and I'm even remiss to talk about it because we have new numbers in front of us. But yesterday we were talking about how Dubai only had 0.79 inches of rain. By the time people woke up in America and were listening to this podcast, like, it got way more rain than that. And this is like the third time now we've had some developing disaster that is taking place. The last one we had was the bridge, but way back was the earthquake in Japan.
Oh, there were right, all the tsunami, warning.
That one we actually go back and say, like, insert something saying, go check your local news authority for more relevant current information. There's, of course, if there's continuing floods in Dubai, there's more rain. Now, this is the same article that we linked had been updated. It's now by the end of Tuesday, more than 5.59 inches of rainfall had soaked Dubai over 24 hours.
Yeah, that'll probably put that area underwater. I saw as well
that
some areas were estimated to get as much as 10 inches, which, yeah, that's going to be tough on a desert.
It's the motion of the ocean, I think.
On the desert region. we're not a licensed meteorologist.
Well, no. I mean, we're reading information as we have it at the time. It's just like what makes this show work, like on a routine basis, is the fact that we're offset by time, but it doesn't necessarily feel that way when people are listening to it. I've had that my entire career as a podcaster. There will be people who will go and listen to a podcast from 8 years ago, and then they will just tweet at me going, Bernie, I think you're wrong about this. And it's like, I wasn't talking. And then I realized they were listening to a podcast where I was talking about some movie that was coming out like later that week or something.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah. A lot of times when you hear something, it's like it's current to you.
There's almost a suspension of disbelief. I feel like when you're listening to something, you're listening to voices in real time. And so you suspend your disbelief that those voices are not, in fact, in real time talking right now.
Still haven't found a single stick of butter. Just point that out. No one.
Why would you say
40
that
billion messages, out loud. Not one single stick of butter.
Why would you say that out loud? All right. Distracting from that, Elon Musk has confirmed intentions to charge new X users a temporary fee to post.
Oh, speaking of, yeah, getting messages on Twitter or X.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. It makes sense. Twitter was largely unmonetized, right? And tons of people were using it. There was no real way. I don't know what their burn rate was as a company before Elon Musk acquired them. They did have a version of Twitter Blue that I was subscribed to before Elon Musk took it over. Then as soon as he tied the blue checkmark to it, I ended up canceling my subscription to Twitter Blue because of that. Because
right,
I didn't want to
be
have
that guy.
No, I didn't want to have the check mark because I was subscribed to Twitter Blue.
Right.
Then he's like backed off on that and given people back their check marks. And now he's saying he wants to charge for new users.
The best part of this is he thinks there's new users.
I was going to say the exact same thing. It's like that's the takeaway from this conversation is new users on Twitter?
In all honesty, my takeaway is that this is ostensibly a move to limit things like bot networks, right? That if suddenly you have to pay to implement a bunch of bots posting on Twitter or on X, you would no longer do it. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that's going to be a price of doing business, and he's going to want in on the profits.
JD,
of that.
Come here. Can you get on mic? Can you get on mic real quick? Here, hold on. Let me turn your mic up. Hello?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We're talking about Twitter here real quick. First of all, is any of your friends signing up for Twitter right now? For X?
No, I mean, some of my friends have Twitter from like the past, but not anymore. There's
like no one's like, hey, I just found this site, Twitter, and I thought I'd join. Yeah, it's wild to me. I get why he's doing it, and he wants to kill the bots. He did have a plan.
But does he really care as long as he can make money off them?
I think he wanted it when he came on board. There was some talk about him, you know, remember when he was like, it's hard to tell when he's memeing and shitposting and when he's actually got a vision for something. There was talk about him saying that Dogecoin was interesting and the ideas behind it, and there were some kind of insinuations he was going to use blockchain to give everyone a verifiable identity. Taking Musk out of the equation, I'm a big fan of that. I think people should have their identities. I don't like the anonymous internet. I think it causes a lot of problems, and we're seeing it get even worse as more bots come out there. So I wish he would do something with that personally, because I think if people are going to post and comment upon other people, I do think they should have their name on it.
Sure.
I do.
Like stand behind your words, that kind of thing.
I mean, even on Facebook, you know, like you can see someone's horrible comment and see the person go, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, on the other hand, yeah, I feel like the whole, like him complaining about bots was just him trying to get out of the purchase.
That was part of it as well, when he was like trying to back off of the whole thing, or maybe just trying to get a lower price.
Maybe.
The weird thing is, historically on the internet, the way they verify your identity, the algorithm that was built in, was already a financial one. They take a credit card. That's how they would do it. Like, they couldn't ask for your passport. They couldn't ask for your, like, state-issued ID. A lot of times they wouldn't do it. I guess they could ask for it, but it was so much easier to ask for a credit card because there's already that vetting process of having someone approve their identity in order to get a credit card. And it's a secure thing that people protect as well. So that's a function that credit cards have served for a long time on the internet.
Well, you know, there's, JD, you were telling us about this a little bit. There's a new social media game in town. It's like voice memos.
Yeah, actually, I can't remember the name of it, but it's
called AirChat.
Yeah, it's based on another social media platform that failed in 2020, but it's
Bullhorn or something like that. What was it called? Maybe the icon was Bullhorn. Twitter's got that too. Twitter has their spaces that are all audio, and I accidentally join those sometimes, and it's just like, oh God, what happened here? What button did I click to end up in this goddamn thing?
It does have that, and I never used it, but I kind of like this in the idea of just like a captain's log.
That one that you sent us, JD, it's currently invitation only.
They had to close down, I think, signups because so many, like, more people were signing up than they could handle. And so that's promising. We'll see how that goes. But there have also been a lot of, I feel like most of the social media platforms that have come out since Twitter stopped being great. You know, there's Blue Sky and there's Threads. And I don't know, a bunch of other ones. There's Mastodon.
Yeah.
It has fractured very much, but no one's emerged as like, we're the new guy. Almost, I would say Blue Sky people seem to like. I haven't really spent any time on it, but this is, I like that this is a slightly different flavor.
I would say there's been no replacement for Reddit either. Like, people have tried to leave Reddit a couple times. When we were talking about them going public, we talked about their huge meltdown over Spez and the API stuff last year. And people just don't really have anywhere else to go. There was a competitor called Vote, V-O-A-T, like goat, but mm-hmm. Vote, because I guess every other name is taken at this point. And that kind of took off for a second. But would you guys say, like, JD, you use Discord. Ashley, you use Discord. Is that the thing that's kind of where people go when they don't want to have a Reddit discussion?
Maybe. Discord is a kind of a different beast in that it is very much a chat. So if you think of, like, old school, like, IRC chat rooms, that sort of thing, it's much more in real time discussion back and forth as opposed to Reddit, which what I would compare more to forums.
Okay.
Discord does have like community features that, like, similar to Reddit, where you could have like a specific, what is it? What's the Discord called? Like a server for like a server specific IP or whatever.
And then channels, is that how that breaks down further?
Yeah,
is that
so
right?
Once you have a Discord server, right, you join a server and then you have a channel that's like, you know, here we talk about games and we talk about food and here's where we talk about like music or memes or, you know, what. However a server chooses to break it out. There are different chat rooms for different topics.
And is that most of your friends use that?
No.
No?
No, yeah, we just use WhatsApp, honestly.
We really just communicate to each other like texting.
Yeah.
Okay. Are people still Snapchatting?
They are here. I don't know why for some reason Snapchat's still really popular in Scotland for like people after 18, but it's like, I can't download it. I'm going to feel like weird if I download Snapchat.
But just think think of all the googly eye filters you could use, JD. Yeah,
all the dog faces. I guess that's not really relevant anymore. But
I wanted to bring you in. Thanks for coming out in. I texted him.
Thank you for having me.
Great news today. Hopefully great news. There's been some iterations of this before, but I'm really excited about this. There's a new Kickstarter project by the original developers of Star Control 2. They are making Freestar, the official sequel to what was Star Control 2, but now what they're calling the Urquan Masters.
I heard about that, but I couldn't tell what it was. I was like, is this like a remaster? Is this like a new sequel?
Supposedly the original developers who were Toys for Bob and then were acquired and everything, and it was a big mess, and then somebody else ended up with the trademarks for Star Control. They now have like broken away. They're doing a Kickstarter. They just started it yesterday. It's already funded, but you know, it's like a Kickstarter. The goal wasn't necessarily the goal. And they're just trying to raise publicity for this thing. So I'm super excited about this. Star Control 2 was a formative game for me, and I made both Teddy and JD play it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I still haven't really seen that level of complexity in like modern RPGs. Because we're chasing graphical fidelity, it's like we've kind of given up a lot of other features. But like Star Control 2 looks like a JPEG, basically. It's like a single JPEG, and then it's like you can just go anywhere.
It was made in 1992, and it's crazy when people go back and play it. They go, this is just like Mass Effect or Halo, the lore of it. It's like, yeah, well, that's where all that stuff came from. It's like when you go back and watch Citizen Kane after you've watched Pulp Fiction. It's like, I don't get what's so interesting about the Citizen Kane movie.
Right, or you go back and you read Lord of the Rings, and you're like, ooh, elves, real creative guys.
This guy must have really liked Dungeons and Dragons. this Tolkien guy, he must have been big into it. But I wanted to let you know that's out there. So thank you for stopping by. JD and I actually recorded a conversation that we're probably going to put out for the Patreon this weekend, patreon.com/morningsomewhere. So you can look for that this weekend. He's going to be introducing a thing you're working on for the Discord itself, right?
Yeah, it's a book club. So if you're interested in finding out more about it, either join the Discord or listen to the episode on Patreon.
Thanks, JD. Go back about your day now. Yeah, so for those of you who have been following Rooster Teeth for a long period of time, or me for a while, JD is now 22 years old, which I say just to make you feel as old as you can possibly feel.
Can you feel the dust?
He even said that in the conversation. We referenced him being 22, and he goes, yeah, I'm old now. And I go, dude, you saying that, all the people listening to this are crumbling into dust.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I would say that, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't want to turn like 30. And then after I was 30, I'd be like, shut up, kid. Someone would be like, I'm going to turn 30. I'd be like, yeah, shut up.
Yeah, there's nothing. When you say like, oh, my God, I'm so old, everyone older than you is just going, shut up. Just keep your mouth
zip
shut.
Zip it.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Zip it. But speaking of aging.
Can I do one other correction real quick? Yesterday, I made some statements saying people thought that JD had just finished university. I mean, he finished for the year. He's got 1 year left of university. So
you have corrected.
Yeah.
But something that is going to affect the youth of today, that does not affect the adult of today, is it's a really interesting thing there that's happening with UK law, where there's a bunch of MPs backing a smoking ban, but the smoking ban is only for people born after the year 2009. So it's kind of similar to a law that New Zealand was going to put in place. Interestingly enough, they scrapped it. I think they got a new...
heard of anything like this. I thought it was such a unique idea, but New Zealand already did it.
They did, and then they got a new prime minister, and he scrapped it. So the idea of this is, if you have been of age to buy tobacco...
Why would you revoke something like that? It remains legal.
If you if you've always been too young for this, then it would remain forever illegal.
And it's an interesting concept because from a legal perspective, people smoke before they're legally allowed to. They drink before they're legally allowed to. But from a legal perspective, are you losing something if you never had it to begin with? You know?
I mean, I guess not necessarily. It's almost like a really weird, it's a grandfathering, right? Like, we're making this illegal, but everyone that came before is fine.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about something, put two things together here for this conversation. Whenever we talk about something that could potentially be spoilerish, when we talk about that, we put the timestamp for it in the comment, the description of the episode. So if you want to skip over it, like, I'm going to talk about Three Body Problem here in a second. It's not too spoilerish, but it could be for somebody who wants to preserve every little aspect of that franchise for themselves. Also, we've been trying out chapters for the different platforms that support it. And so I will highlight, if I can, if your platform supports chapters, you'll see the part of the discussion where we're talking about this. So I'm about to talk about Three Body Problem, and I'll put in the description of the episode the time step when we stop talking about this, if you don't want to hear about it. Pause. Okay. So in Three Body Problem, one of the things that comes up is there is an existential threat to humanity that's not going to happen for 400 years, right?
Right.
And it's such an interesting concept to me because every human who's born for the next, like, say, 200, 250 years, couldn't possibly be affected by this. They're not going to be killed by this thing. It's just a humanity as a species will end it when this thing happens. But if humans decide to stop having children and humanity just kind of runs out, the moral question there is that a tragedy? Like, is it a tragedy if people get to live their full lives, die as normal, nothing happens, but the species itself doesn't continue?
Right. It is interesting because you're right. It's not killing anyone.
Right.
It's just not making any new anyone's.
Right. It's like the same thing. It reminds me of this with the smoking ban. If it doesn't affect you and you never had it to begin with, are you losing anything? Here's what I'm saying.
I mean, I guess it's more that you wouldn't necessarily have the, in this case, privileges. I don't know how to, I'm not pro smoking just in general, but like you wouldn't have like the privileges or freedoms of the people that came before you. And I can see objecting to that on a, you know, just on a principle, general principle. But I also think that for somewhere like the UK where medical care is socialized, I'm almost surprised that there hasn't been a crackdown earlier because smoking and tobacco use are going to lead to more requirements for healthcare, and then everyone is basically footing the bill for that, right?
Oh, yeah. Like when you buy a pack of cigarettes here in the UK, covered with horrific images of like diseased lungs. Like there's a tiny little warning in the US of like, hey, if you smoke this, somebody in California once said this could cause cancer. Basically what it says. In the UK, it's like, here's a diseased trachea. Here's a set of lungs from a smoker. On the package, there are literally...
The packages are gruesome.
The outside of the package is 90% of it is like, smoking will kill you. Like this gigantic warning in bold letters.
Like bold letters made out of diseased
like,
lungs.
Buy this and die.
So, I can see why the UK would want to pursue something like that to reduce sort of the healthcare load that smoking and tobacco use causes. The grandfathering is tough. It's probably the only way they could get it across because the adults who smoke would never vote in support of it. And the youth who would never get the privilege may not be voting age yet anyway.
In theory, nobody's losing anything. In theory, you know? I mean, there's a lot of people who say like freedoms, you know, in general. I personally feel like civilization is kind of the suspension of freedoms. Like that's how you define what a civilization is. Like if we're all like out in tribes and living in caves, you can kill anyone you want and take what you want because you want it. When you join a civilization, you decide to give up some freedoms. And this is one of those things. Like if you want access to incredible healthcare, maybe this is one of the things that you have to give up as people who will, you know, according to science, willfully hurt themselves.
So I'll be curious to see if this one gets more long-lasting support than the one in New Zealand. That one, I think, was going to go into effect this year. And so now...
Oh, so they never even started it in New Zealand.
No, they didn't. It was... they passed it. I think it was ready to go. It was going to be implemented in 2024. They got a new prime minister, and he said, nah.
To put this in perspective, the UK one is anyone born after 2009. So let's just call it 2010, right? So it's people who are 14 years old right now. Like if we're telling everyone who's 14 and under right now, they can't smoke. Is that a great tragedy? Is that a great affront to personal freedom?
I wouldn't say a great affront. No, not necessarily. But in the same vein as like a...
I mean, I get it. Like people would say that.
Do we just stop having children and stop existing as a species?
No, now I got to extend the timestamp because you said that.
Not because, you know, nobody is dying. What it is not, the tragedy comes from the loss of future potential.
The right? loss of future potential.
Right. So in that case, it's the loss of what the freedoms they would have been getting as an adult. So I feel like I'm arguing in favor of smoking, and I'm not. But I can see why people would
smoke up, kids.
Yeah.
Hey, those tobacco companies are doing God's work, Ashley. Well, we went through something similar when I was a kid because in Texas, they moved the drinking age from 18 to 21. And they did the same thing. If you're 18, you'll be able to still drink. But anyone turning 18 after this date, you can't drink until you're 21.
How'd that go down?
And it was kerfuffle, you know? I mean, people had things to say about it. And of course, people drank anyway. And then there was this period of time where they were like, eh. And it was only 3 years, right? That could possibly affect anyone at all. Because once those people who could have drank when they were 18 then turned 21, then those were the people who really were going to miss out. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
The people who turned it immediately. After that, it just became the drinking age was 21. I was 12. I didn't feel like I was missing out on drinking between 18 and 21. And by the way, I drank a lot between 18 and 21. That's just the way that works. So I don't feel like I missed out on anything. So, it, you know, got to see that. What was a huge problem in Texas when I was growing up in the 80s was when they put a ban on drinking while driving. Listen to what I'm saying there. Not drinking and driving. Literally while drinking driving. While driving. Like people going down the road without Jack and Coke. They no longer could do that.
You know what? I think I remember seeing a video.
I think I said it to you.
You did. It's a news clip. We'll find this and put this in the link dump of people being interviewed about this new ban on drinking and driving. And it's guys being like, "What do you mean I can't have a beer or two on my way home from work?"
That and some lady going,
like, "That doesn't seem fair."
I don't even know what's happened. This is just like a communist country now. Beer in her hand, I think she even has a kid in the car, like even like a baby, like in the front seat, like tucked under the windshield. it's funny when you have these things. They seem like a very progress, and those changes that make progress feel like a very big deal at the time, but when you look back at them through the lens of progress, looking back, you're like, how in the hell were they fighting for drinking while driving? How could they do it?
Like, this seems like common sense.
All right, well, that does it for us today. If you do want to catch that conversation with JD, it'll be on the Patreon, this weekend at patreon.com/morningsomewhere.
Speaking of which, I would like to thank Campbell Rowe and Daniel Dreffling for keeping this podcast ad-free for all of our listeners. Thank you, Campbell and Daniel.
Campbell Rowe is a fantastic name.
It's a great name, isn't it?
I'm absolutely going to steal that next time I need a name. Campbell Rowe.
The superhero.
All right, well, that does it for us today. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.